Our Father God in heaven, we thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you, God, for the many blessings of this day. We thank you, God, that you take care of us and watch over us. I pray, God, tonight as we gather that we'd all learn something, that we'd all open our hearts and our minds and listen to you and listen to your word. I pray, God, that you'd allow me to hide behind your word tonight and that they may hear you. We know, God, as each one of us are individuals, Lord, that each one of us have needs and desires, and they're all different, Lord. And we know, God, that your word speaks to all of us, Lord. And I pray, God, tonight that it would do that. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be among us tonight and working and moving in us. And I pray most of all, God, that we glorify Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, turn over to the 8th chapter of Romans. I want to talk to you tonight about God being in control. God being in control. Y'all know God's in control. Amen. Becky and I are in a season of searching right now. We have for the last, since last July, we have supply preached and at different churches and been quite busy. I'll just give you a little report. We have been to some sad churches. We have been to some churches that are, I don't even know if I'd call it a church. The situation is dire. A lot of these churches are not going to stay open. It's given me an opportunity to see where the Baptist faith is right now. I just want to tell y'all ought to be thankful for what you have here, because it's terrible. I've been to some places that, you get up to preach and you want to run out the back door to get out of there. I mean, it's that bad, and a lot of bad things going on. But Becky and I are in that season of where we're trying to figure out where God wants us and what he wants us to do, because I can tell you right now, I'm not retiring. God called me into this, and I'm going to do it till I can't. And I don't know when that'll be, but when we left our last assignment, we thought, well, maybe God just wants us to supply preach. Well, I can tell you tonight, I don't think that's where God wants us. And I think he wants us somewhere. We just ain't found that place yet. And as I was thinking about this tonight, I was thinking about my favorite passage of Scripture, which is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I've been praying this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's been my prayer this whole time since we've really gotten into where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. That is my favorite passage of Scripture, and that's a promise, by the way. But I got to tell you that Romans 8:28 is coming up fast as one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 8:28 says this. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." Now, it tells me that if I love God, I don't have anything to worry about. Folks, if you're a child of God tonight, you don't have anything to worry about. Nothing. But here's what I really glean out of Romans 8:28, and that's where we're going to be tonight. It answers that question that's on everybody's lips. Why? Why? And I know every one of you in here has heard this. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, if that's your premise, you're starting off wrong, because the Bible says there's not any good people, no, not one. So if you start off wrong, you don't get the right answer. Why? All of us have suffered at times, haven't we? We've all had tragedy in our lives, and all of us, I guarantee you, at one time in our lives has said, "Why, God?" Chris Christopherson, "Why me, Lord?" All of us have asked that. If you love God, your answer lies here in verse 28. That's why. Because all things work together for your good and God's glory. Ray Ortland wrote this. He said, "The hand of God is at the helm. He's steering us through the storms of life towards home, towards a safe haven. And he takes care to order all the events of our lives right now to speed us on our way there." If Romans 8:28 is true, and it is, because it's in God's Word, what can happen to us? If God's working all things out for our good, what have we got to worry about? Lewis was a young man that loved God. He loved God so much that he was just beside himself. And at the age of 9, Lewis was playing around his father's workbench. His father was a shoemaker. And Lewis was playing around in an awl. You know what an awl is, don't you? It's a short ice pick that they use to poke holes in leather. An awl fell off of his workbench, and Lewis was under the workbench, and that awl struck him in the eye. The injury was so severe that it took the sight of both of his eyes. Now, Lewis loved God. But Lewis took that very awl that had blinded him and began to make a series of dots. And we know it as Braille. Lewis Braille took that terrible thing that blinded him and took his sight and scratched out little dots that we all get on the elevator at anywhere we go, we see the results. A terrible thing happened to Lewis, but look at the good that came from it. Might I remind you tonight of the bad thing that happened to our Lord and Savior and the good it done for us. Oh, God is so good. He's so good to us. Bad things do happen to good people. Who can forget the words of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50? He says, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as in this day, to save many people alive." They killed the Prince of Peace, but God meant it for good. Folks, we may never see the reason why some of these things happen to us. We may never know this side of heaven. And I'm going to tell you, when we get to that other side, it ain't going to matter anyway. We may never know the reason for these trials and tribulations, but verse 28 should comfort those tonight that love the Lord. I'm telling you, it's coming up fast as one of my favorite verses. So let's break this down here real quick, and I'll try not to keep you till 8 or 9 o'clock. Paul begins with, "There we know." Now we know, and he says, "And we know." That word, that Greek word here, means without a doubt. We know without a doubt. Folks, we know because God said it. We know that it's God's word. I begin to think about some things lately, and folks, it's got to start with God's word. Everything has to start with God's word. These churches that I've been going to, they're trying everything that they can, but they don't want to hear God's word. I was at a church Easter Sunday. 15 minutes before the service started, they wanted to go have an Easter egg hunt. Now, I like to blow my stack. I'm just beside myself. And I told this lady that is in charge, if you get my drift, I told her, I said, "You don't need to do that." I said, "You're taking away from one of the most important things here, Easter Sunday. You're going to have visitors here. It ought to be focused on God's word and on God." The problem with the church today is they're mixing these things up. They want the Easter bunny to show up down to church. You can't mix those things up. That's why the church is in the shape that it's in today. Spurgeon said it best. He said, if you use worldly methods to bring the world into the church, you got to use worldly methods to keep them there. That's why we got fun and games. We got all this stuff. It's anything but God's word. That's where we're at. I won't charge you no extra for that. You see, we know not by looking at the events of our lives, but by knowing God. Verse 28 don't make sense to a lost person. They don't get it. But we got to remember that they're not supposed to get it. They shouldn't get it. I remember when I was a young Christian, I was confused about a lot of things. I was raised in a Lutheran church. That'll mess you up big time by itself. That's just that far under being a Catholic. But anyway, I didn't know some things. And when I got saved, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew I needed a Savior. And I believed that Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's all I knew. A book came along and got into my hands. A guy that y'all know that went to this church, Rob Harrington, gave it to me. He gave me a book called The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink. And I want to tell you, that little book right there done more for me, maybe not more for me than the Bible, but it showed me who God was. Folks, we don't know who we are till we understand who God is. Paul says, and we know here. Oh, there's a lot here that we don't know. There's a lot of things that we don't know. But I can tell you tonight, for those who love God and love Him, He's with us. He's working. He hasn't left us. He hadn't forgotten us. He cared enough for us to send His Son to die for us. He says there, if you love the Lord, if you love Him. The second thing I want to point out in that verse of Scripture is it says all things. Think about what that encompasses. That word all means all. It don't mean part of the things. It don't mean the good things. I got to tell you, the Lord's been blessing us like crazy. But I've lived through seasons where you wondered if the Lord was even around. And y'all have been there too. Consider how comprehensive all things are. If we don't know this already, nothing's going to stay God's hand. All those things that He wants to use, all those things that are going on are subject to Him. Folks, we have to understand that God's in control. And sometimes it looks like things aren't in God's control. We've all got things in our lives that's spiraling out of control. It's messing with us, isn't it? Folks, He has no limits. He can take the good and the bad and the ugly, and He can take the suffering, and it comes out for our good. Have you ever heard someone say, boy, if I'd have been there 10 seconds later, I'd have been in the big middle of that car wreck. Why do you think you wasn't there 10 seconds earlier? Because God didn't want you in that car wreck. Brothers and sisters, even death will be good for those who love the Lord. Somebody said something about absent from the body's present with the Lord. Oh, Brother Carol Norman said, man, that's got to be great. It's got to be better than where we're at today. I vote we go today. Now, we don't. There ain't none of us want to die, do we? I don't want to die before my time, do you? You're not going to die before your time because God's already got your time appointed. And He already knows it. You're not going to die before your time. I had a crazy lady at my last church. She's crazy. She called me up during the COVID thing. Because I opened the church back up. She said, I don't think we ought to open the church. I said, well, I don't care what you think. I wasn't that nasty to her. But I did get nasty with her eventually. She said, if you open that church back up, she said, all them people that you have to bury out there in the cemetery when they get that thing, that COVID thing, she said, all them people, you're going to be responsible for them. I said, let me ask you something. I said, do you think God is sovereign? Yeah. I said, do you believe that you're going to live one nanosecond longer than God has appointed for you to live? I said, I don't care if it's COVID. I don't care what it is. Whatever you get, whatever takes you, God is in control. It ain't on me. I told her not to call me no more. She was a nasty lady. She didn't either. Listen, folks, there's no such thing as chance and circumstance. There's no such thing as luck. God is in control. We got to get that in our thick skulls. God is in control, and all this is going on. I'm here tonight because God wanted me here tonight. I don't know why. Maybe somebody need to hear this message tonight. I don't know. You never know. But I want to tell you this, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Now, if you look over at verse 31 there, look what it says there. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you're a child of God tonight, that ought to make you feel special. Ain't nothing can take you. Ain't nothing can hurt you. I love it. God is for us, who can be against us? But notice there that all these things work together. Did you know God is working right now? Did you know that God, our God never sleeps? Our God is always working. He's always in control. Job told his foolish wife in Job 2:11, shall we not indeed accept good from God and shall not accept adversity? I don't know about you men in here, but I'd have got rid of my wife if I'd have had Job's wife. When she told me, curse God and die, I don't know that I'd have had to send her down the road. Has anyone in here tonight ever learned anything from a trial? Have you ever learned anything from a tribulation? Has a tribulation moved you from one place to another in your life? Now all things work together. That word there for work together is synergo, and it means to the potential ability to work together. It's the temporal working with the eternal. It's the natural working with the supernatural. Did you know that you're a natural being tonight, but you're also a supernatural being if you're a child of God tonight? You got the Spirit of the living God living in you. That's the struggle. That's the great struggle Paul talked about over there in Romans 7. He talks about I don't know why I do these things that I don't want to do, but those things that I should do, I don't do those. You see, that's the great struggle. That's that natural, that's that flesh and that supernatural working together. Did you know that God is our fellow worker? You remember where Jesus talked about the yoke? Take my yoke because it's easy. You ever considered a yoke? It's got an ox over here and an ox over here. What's happening? What happens if this ox over here wants to take off and go fast? And this one over here is lagging behind. They're working against each other. Jesus said, take my yoke because it's easy, because he's on this side and you're over here and he's carrying you. Now, when you get all whomper-jawed and you start fighting against the Lord and his word and all those things, guess what? The yoke gets heavy. It's kind of crazy, doesn't it? He himself, God, works on our behalf, causing all things to work together for our good. Did God not send us a remedy for sin and it worked out for our good? Did you know, Christian, tonight every sin you ever committed, every sin you're going to commit, has already been paid for? It worked for our good. I'm told if you take sodium by itself or chloride by itself, it'll kill you. But if you take and add those two together, you got salt. Isn't that amazing? All things work together for good. Consider this. God takes the sin in our lives and cancels it out for our good. Sin's not a good thing, is it? Are there any sinners in here? Did some sin in your life ever get you in trouble? It ain't good for you. You know, now the normal natural consequences of sin may be felt. I tell people all the time, yes, you can be forgiven of sin, but I'm going to tell you something. If you drink 4 cases of whiskey a day and 10 packs of cigarettes, it's going to have some consequences. Sin also has tentacles too. Has anybody ever told you? I ain't hurt nobody but myself. I come from a long line of alcoholics, and by the grace of God, I was not one. But I've got 2 brothers. One of them's dead now, and it got him. I can tell you that sin that they committed by drinking too much had tentacles. It affected my mom. It affected my family. It affected everything. It has tentacles. It's got consequences. Now we must ask ourselves tonight, what is good? What is good? Let's start with this. Good is what is good from God's perspective, not our perspective. I think one of the problems that we have in the church today is that we have stopped looking through that eternal lens. We are so wrapped up in the temporal and the right now and what we can get right now and what we can do right now that we forgot to look out there eternally. I think it's hurting us. Too many of us live for the here and now. Genesis 1:31 says, God looked and saw that he had made and proclaimed that it was very good. Everything that he made was very good. And then sin come along. Messed it all up. Now there's a common theme in this verse that our Pentecostal friends and our pew jumping friends will take out of context. They like to take this verse and take it out of context. I lost my job, but Romans 8:28 says God has one better for me. Or how about this one? I lost my girlfriend or my wife, but Romans 8:28 says something, God's got somebody out there better for me. Folks, we got to realize that we got to apply the spiritual to the spiritual. Both of those things that I just used are temporal things. We got to use the spiritual. They're materialistic in nature, those things were. There may be a better job out there for you. There may be a better wife or a perfect mate for you. But keep in mind, it's God's will and God's purpose ultimately. God's will is going to be done. We pray that, don't we? But I can tell you right now, whether we pray it or not, it's going to be done. We got to understand who he is. Amen? Now look what's next. We see 2 characteristics. Those who love God and those called according to his purpose. Let's take those who love God first. Notice there what it does not say. It does not say those who believe. It does not say those who have made a profession of faith. It doesn't say those who are baptized or those who are church members. Paul draws a line in the sand and he says, those who love God. Does anybody in here love God tonight? All those things are good that I just read. Paul puts it this way, those who love God. You know, the love of God separates. It separates the professors from the possessors. There are lots of people that's made professions of faith. Where are they? What happened to this side tonight? She's right there. I'm not saying she's a professor or a possessor. I don't know which side's which. The issue is simply not believing, but loving. Didn't Jesus say something about the demons? Believed and trembled? They knew who he was. They were scared of him. Maybe we need to do some trembling. You say, well, Brother Gary, don't all believers love God? Well, let's apply God's word to God's word. You got your Bibles with me? Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'll just start up at verse 19. I'll read down a little bit. John 14, 19 says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." We'll stop right there. Notice there that he says, "He that loves me will keep my commandments." Isn't that interesting? Look over at John 13, 13. He says, "Ye call me Master, Lord, Lord and Master, and you say, well, for I am. Look at verse 14. "If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Is that a command? Do you love God tonight? We need to go back there and get the dishpan out. We need to start washing each other's feet. I preached that at a church not long ago, and they had a look of terror on their face. They thought we was going to break out the washtub. We laugh about that, but there's a command that we don't ever pay any attention to. I would wash y'all's feet tonight. Would you wash mine? You know why? Not because I want to wash your feet, but because I love the Lord. He says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. That's applying Scripture to Scripture there, by the way. We need to know Christ's commands. Look over at verse 23 and 24 of John 14. Jesus answered and said to them, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." I don't know about you, but I need God's presence in my life. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's Father which sent me." The love of God will always be tied to obedience. If you love the Lord, it's always going to be tied to some form of obedience. "Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." I can't fathom what heaven's going to be like. I tell people this all the time. God created all this in 6 days. Jesus left a couple thousand years ago to prepare a place for us. It must be spectacular. Do you love the Lord tonight? Can you say in all honesty that you love him? Next, we see those who have been called according to his purpose. Those who love God describes the reader from the human side. But now those who are called describe them from the divine side. God calls everybody. "No man come to me unless he first be drawn," John 6, 44 says. God does the calling. I hate that song. I don't hate it. "I have decided to follow Jesus." That burns me up. My last church I was at, I told the song leader, I said, "Do not sing that song." I said, "Because it's wrong. Because you didn't decide to follow Jesus. If it hadn't been for the grace of God and you being called, we'd be out there in the world today. It would be one of them." Notice the call and the purpose are together there. The called are those who were invited. To those who love God, you should feel pretty special tonight. Because God called you. And it wasn't by anything that you did, it was by grace.
Whew, what a God. He invited you. He called you out. He set you apart. He made you a peculiar people. Did you know the church is supposed to be different than those people out there? The problem is today is you can't tell any difference for the most part. Oh, you'll have a Lee Creek or something like that that stands out as different. But I'm going to tell you, most of them's no different. He made you his child, not because you deserved it, but simply that he chose you. Now, don't try to figure that out. Don't try, you'll drive yourself nuts trying to figure that out. Why did he choose me and he didn't choose that? Why did he love Esau and he hated, or he loved Jacob and he hated Esau? He's God, he can do whatever he wants to do. He is the potter, we are the clay. We got to get past ourselves. That's what Christianity really boils down to. You got to get over yourself. And it's got to all be about Jesus. There's a general call, folks, out there. But few find the narrow gate, because broad is the way of destruction. I'm going to tell you tonight, if God has called you, it's an effectual call. You'll know it, because it'll have an effect on your life. If you is what you was, you ain't. It'll change you. You'll be different. You won't, listen, you're not going to change overnight. I'm not saying that. But I guarantee you, you're going to grow in that grace if God's called you. It's going to have an effect on you. Unless we get puffed up, that effectual call is all of grace. But notice it's according to his purpose. Again, we need to get over ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about us. Purpose there means a plan in advance. It's two purposes here. It's our good and his glory. I've got a passage of scripture I want to read you. You don't have to turn over there. And by the way, God's purpose is going to succeed. Acts chapter 2. This is a verse that always has amazed me. Two verses. Acts chapter 2, 22 says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Listen to this. Him. That Jesus, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Who did that? God did it. God did it for our good. And he did it for his glory. Because I guarantee you there's not going to be anybody but Jesus when we get there. And he's going to get all the glory because he deserves it. That verse 23 has always haunted me, because it tells me that all of this was planned out before time. No matter what you do or who you are or what color you are or what gender you are, it don't matter. It's a predetermined counsel of God Almighty. That's what it's all about. Job said, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted." You see, God is in control. He's in control tonight. He'll be in control tomorrow night. He always will be. He works all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, for good, to bring us to his purpose. He does that for those who love him. I want you to think how special you are tonight. And I want you to think about those poor people out there that don't have a clue. They're just floating around in life. They're just living what they think is life, but it's really not. He does that for those who love him. And sometimes he breaks us when he does those things, doesn't he? Y'all like Vance Havner? Old Vance wrote this. He said, "God uses broken things. It takes broken ground to produce a crop. Broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth its perfume. It is Peter weeping bitterly who returns with greater power than ever. Sometimes things happen to us that we don't understand. But Romans 8:28 tells me that it's for my good. And it's for His purpose and His glory. Perhaps tonight you've never been called. Perhaps you don't love God. What does this verse say to you? Are all things working together for bad for you? There's going to be bad things happen to us, for sure. The psalmist wrote this. He said, "The Lord keeps all those who love Him, but all the wicked He's going to destroy." That's Psalms 145:20. Do you know Him tonight? Does He know you? Matthew chapter 7. Remember all those people that said, "We've done all these things in Your name, Lord. We've prophesied, we've preached, we've done all those things." You remember what Jesus said? "Apart from me, I don't know you." I wonder sometimes if we're not asking the wrong question. Do you know Jesus? I think the question might need to be, does Jesus know you? How will you respond to Him when you look at this verse of Scripture? What a wonderful purpose God has for those who love Him. Called according to His purpose. He's in control, and He always will be. I hope that helps you tonight.